From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined by, as always, the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
Yeah, great, great. Got some fun news this week with Sporting Kansas City, don't we?
We do, and we are here at Pinnacle. We're doing the show on location once again because of a special announcement made by Sporting Kansas City today, in which they have announced the signing of their latest homegrown player and the second youngest homegrown player to sign a professional contract with Sporting KC in franchise history, bested only by Gianluca Abusio from a little over a year ago. His name is Tyler Freeman. He is from the Shawnee area in Kansas City. He has been playing in the academy since he was 12 years old. He's 15 years old, but he's been playing with the Sporting KC U19s and the United States U17s on the national team level as well. And now he's signed a professional contract. So coming up on the show today from out here at Pinnacle, we're going to have a sit-down conversation with Tyler Freeman. I think it's one you're really going to look forward to hearing because he'll talk about being a ball kid, about walking out at 6 years old with Josh Wolf and standing next to a young Matt Beisler, who was a rookie at that time, I believe. And much, much more from Tyler Freeman. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And we'll also have a conversation with Peter Vermees. He'll tell us about his thoughts on Tyler and what he likes and expects from his latest homegrown signing. But also, we got a pretty big game to get down and tackle that we'll do with Peter Vermees, as well as Zlatan. Happy birthday, Zlatan, by the way. And the LA Galaxy come to town. 2 points out of the playoffs, the Galaxy. So desperate to try to get themselves back in the playoffs with one of the most electrifying players in the history of the league as well. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere at Children's Mercy Park. We'll break all of that down with Peter Vermees as well. So we've got a lot to get to here today. Let's jump right into it, Carter, and we'll look back to the last game first. A 1-1 draw against Real Salt Lake. Obviously, it's an unsatisfying result if you're Sporting Kansas City. But considering the fact that they were trailing 9 minutes in, to come back and grab something from the game, at least in the form of a 1-1 draw, something, I guess they can at least take something out of that match. What were your thoughts from down on the sideline? Well, actually, you were up in the booth with me because we were on radio. I remember that now that I think about it. What were your thoughts from watching this one on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Coming back and getting at least a point from getting that early goal, that shows they've had the ability to do that this season, which I think has been a pretty good sign for SKC as they try and make this playoff push into the playoffs. In talking with Peter Vermees at training yesterday, I think he answered a question with a good distinction between being disappointed and being discouraged with the performances, and he said they're disappointed that they didn't get more than a point because they felt that they played well enough to get all three. But he wasn't too discouraged about how they played because they created a ton of chances in that game, I thought. And then especially in the second half, RSL really didn't have much going the other way. First half, they were pretty dangerous on the break. But I think that will be the main takeaway, just the disappointment with how many chances there were. And there were some really good quality chances that they couldn't really make a couple tell that they really needed to, and this has been a year where they've converted those type of chances. So, I think it's a decent point. Certainly, RSL will be more happy with the point.
Yeah, I mean, I can list off three what I thought were. I mean, shot. You can look at the shot numbers and all that, but in terms of really clear cut chances, there was the opportunity for Christian Namath in the first half on the shot that just barely went wide of the post, right on the doorstep, and you know he wanted that one back. There was really good shot opportunity, I believe, for Felipe Gutierrez on that kick save that Nick Raimondo made. And then Diego Rubio had his streak ended of eight straight matches that he appeared in which he had either a goal or an assist. He should have had another assist in this one. He played just a perfect ball through to Gerso. His first touch was just too heavy and carried it too close to Nick Raimondo. He takes a better touch there. Sporting Kansas City win that game.
Yeah, that's the one that sticks out to me as well. You mentioned the other two, which are really good chances. And certainly Nemeth, I think you're right. In that first half, he's probably wondering how he didn't score that at the back post. But Jerso Fernandez, I think that's the one that would really stick in the craw of this team because it was late on, 81st minute, somewhere in there, and with such great work from Rubio. He kind of feinted that turn inside and then actually spun his guy to the outside and then waited for Jerso to make the run in behind the left back and played the ball absolutely perfectly. And it was at that angle that you see. I feel like that's the angle that a lot of goal scorers like, coming down from the corner of the box in towards the middle, opens up each side of the keeper. But yeah, that first touch was just too heavy. It brought Raimondo into the game, and it was Raimondo really should have been taken out of that play with a decent first touch. So I think that's going to be the one that they'll look back and Jerso especially. You know, he knows he has that quality, and he was a monster with his pace throughout the game. But getting in behind is one thing, and you gotta make that tell. So I think that's the one that will stick in their craw. Rubio looked good off the bench as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Peter Vermes decides to go coming into this week in terms of that choice of strikers, because, you know, the last couple of games, Rubio has been coming back from an injury. So he came off the bench in this one. Daniel Shalhoub's come off the bench the last couple of games. It'll be interesting to see who he looks for, because this is two games in a row now where he is talking about good play, chances created, but not finishing those chances. And with four games to go, I think that's something Sporting Kansas City want to make sure they get sorted out, is putting some of these chances away to win these games.
Yeah, should be a pretty tough headache to pick a lineup for this weekend. And oftentimes you'll pick guys based on the matchup as well. And the Galaxy certainly tend to have wide open matches. So I wonder if that's going to come into who starts, who's on the bench to come on as an impact sub perhaps. I'm really curious to see what he does up top, but I think certainly the focal point will be to try and keep the ball and maybe not evolve into one of those typical 5-4 LA Galaxy type games.
Yeah, and one of the guys that bosses the midfield for Sporting Kansas City, Roger Espinoza, was listed as questionable going into that game against Real Salt Lake with some back stiffness. Subbed himself out. They said it was fatigue, but you could see him kind of grabbing that back a little bit. So I guess that'll be something we'll be interested to see through the course of this week as well.
Oh, definitely. And how good has he been this year? And he had another that he had a pass that I think Johnny Russell, we didn't talk about that chance, but yeah. I think Russell thought, by feinting a touch on the ball and then letting it go play through, maybe he might fool Nick Raimondo. That was a really good save. You have to credit Raimondo for that save. But Espinoza showing his range with his right foot on that pass, and he's been so crucial to this SKC team this year. And yeah, that obviously we'll have to keep an eye out on that, because how big will that midfield battle be? It often seems like LA Galaxy have zero people in midfield. So I think Sporting would like to have that 3-0 in midfield if they can.
Yeah, we'll see how that shakes out, because the LA Galaxy, they score a ton of goals. They give up a ton of goals through the course of this year as well. We will break that down with Peter Vermes coming up in a little bit. And then Carter and I, of course, will have our thoughts on that game, which is going to just be a massive turnout, massive stakes, massive atmosphere. It should be just tremendous. To me, Children's Mercy Park at its best coming your way Saturday night. One other thing I wanted to touch on, though, Carter, from this last game against RSL. You and I had a chance to be a small part of this. This puts everything else into perspective. We talk about the discouragement or the disappointment, but not discouragement from that game. It was Childhood Cancer Day at Children's Mercy Park, and one of the things the Victory Project has been doing for the past couple of years is granting sporting wishes to children who are battling cancer who have gotten the devastating news that their diagnosis and their cancer has returned, basically a relapse of their cancer, which is usually a terrible diagnosis. This past weekend, they had a young man, 18-year-old by the name of Kalen Ricketson, whose sporting wish was to play for Sporting Kansas City. And boy, did this organization do it right. We got to interview him at halftime, but that was the smallest sliver of his experience through the course of the weekend. He was signed to a contract. He came out here to Pinnacle. He and Peter Vermes sat down, signed a contract. They did a press conference together. He got to go to training with the team, eat the meals with the team, take a penalty kick shootout on the field. You beat Zendejas for a goal. sent the keeper the wrong way, and then he got to go out there and be in the locker room, have his own locker, have his watching the video that Sporting Kansas City put out. It's the kind of thing that just brings tears to your eyes, as all of the players treated him as if he was one of their teammates, giving him a high five and a handshake before the game, just like they do all their other teammates. Watching the equipment guys like Sammy and Mike Flaherty just rolling out the red carpet for him. He got to go on the field beforehand and pass the ball around with the rest of the players while they were warming up, sit on the bench during the game. It just is one of those things for me. I don't know about you, Carter. It makes you emotional when you watch it, but also kind of swell with pride as to what this organization stands for when it comes to the Victory Project.
Yeah, certainly pride comes into it. Obviously, like you said, I feel like we had very little to do with this thing. There's just so many people throughout the organizations, especially and specifically the playing staff and playing team. Like those guys were unbelievable. It might sound cliche, but it's like this is why everyone's here, right? Like this is the fans like this. And for me, honestly, it was an absolute pleasure and an honor to talk with Kalen, because I've never talked with someone with an outlook like that. I'm getting kind of choked up now actually thinking about it. But he had said something about how it just looked like he was really enjoying the moment, which I thought was awesome. And he had a really good outlook on life. And one of those things that he talked about was someone was asking him some questions, and he said, well, there's kids out there that have it worse than me, that they can't even leave the hospital. And for him to say something like that, just incredible. And so it was the video is really cool. If you haven't seen it, go watch the Behind the Shield of Kalen's Wish. And you hear Matt Beasler when they're giving him the game ball. Another thing that was a very player type thing for him to experience was they gave him an actual debut game ball. They wrote, like they do for every single player that makes their SKC debut, they wrote the match on the score, the date, everything on the ball. Everyone signed it and gave it to him. And you can hear Matt Beasler when he's giving it to him at the end of this video, talking about how he's an inspiration. And I in looking at this experience, I honestly think he is to a lot of these guys. Just the outlook that he has is incredible, and I'm really happy that he had a good time and that he made it out there. And what was cool is that I had several people asking me, like, who's this new guy we signed? So
his name's Kalen Rickardson.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. It's kind of like some people who might not know what's going on, and that's what the treatment was, to put him on the video board, had his starting lineup stuff up there. But the Cauldron certainly knew what was going on, chanting his name throughout. And I just thought it was just one of the coolest things that I've seen.
Yeah, you're not alone getting choked up when you watch the video. And I encourage anybody to go to sportingkc.com, go to the Twitter page, and you'll see the video that kind of takes you behind the scenes along the journey with Kalen through this. But this kid, 18 years old, he has been battling bone cancer for over 3 years, 13 surgeries. You're talking bone marrow transplants, which anybody will tell you is an excruciating process. He's had one of his arms has had to be amputated. He's had a return of this cancer. And like you said, for him to have that outlook that other people have it worse than me, whatever little thing you're going through today that's bothering you today, it's one of those reminders that that there's so much more out there that people are dealing with and struggling with. And you know, you think about sometimes how trivial it is what we do. We sit here and we talk about a soccer game and we break down successes and failures on a meaningless soccer game in the grand scheme of life. It's not meaningless for somebody like Kalen. I mean, this was what his sporting wish was, and this was a chance for him to live a dream for a day and make his, not just his life, but his entire family's life richer for it.
Yeah, and he had talked about watching sporting games and soccer in particular at the hospital is what got him through a lot of those chemo treatments and a lot of those difficult surgeries, like you mentioned. So it is, you know, it's really a respite for and catharsis for a lot of people. And him saying soccer is what helped him get through that, and then the ability for him to come out. Yeah, man, it was incredible.
Really powerful stuff. And just a tip of the cap to everybody with the Victory Project, and like I echo Carter's thoughts, the players and the staff for Sporting KC. This doesn't become the special moment that it does without those personalities really taking this on and fully embracing it and fully embracing Kalen the way that they did. So that was pretty cool. I want to make sure we talked about that because that's bigger than all the other stuff that we're going to get to the rest of the day. Not to say that what we have to talk about coming up next isn't big. It's some pretty exciting stuff out here at Pinnacle. We're going to sit down with Tyler Freeman, 15-year-old Kansas City product who has signed a homegrown professional contract with the team that he grew up cheering for. And now he's going to be a pro and practice and train with these guys. And hopefully someday we'll be talking about him making his MLS debut and getting that game ball as well. We'll have that conversation with Tyler Freeman when we come back. We're off and running on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, a special announcement was made today by Sporting Kansas City, something we're starting to get used to around here. Young players coming through the academy system and signing professional contracts with Sporting Kansas City. And the latest one, a local product, a kid who was from here in the Kansas City area, Tyler Freeman, announced today and joining us now on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Tyler, first of all, congratulations. Tell me about what this feels like for you to have this come to fruition right now.
Oh, man, it's everything, really. You know, growing up, watching the team every weekend, watching it when it was the Wizards all the way up to, you know, Sporting. It was always a goal of mine, to, you know, to play for the first team one day. You know, everybody's like, oh, I want to become a pro soccer player, but I always wanted to become one for Sporting. So, you know, to have the opportunity now, it means everything.
All right, let's go back to that then. Take me back to... Do you remember your first game, or do you remember the first time you actually watched a Wizards game in person?
I think sometime back in 2009, I walked out with Josh Wolf. Wow. Josh Wolf, I was walking out with him, and I remember Matt Beasler is next to me and Kai Kamara, and it was crazy. I remember that was really the first moment.
So tell me the context there. Were you playing in a club's team at the time? Got to do one of the Walk of Fames. And would have been at Community America Ballpark at the time?
Yep. Yeah. You know, I think just signed up. I got the opportunity somehow. I was like, yeah, I really want to walk out. So I got the opportunity, and it was crazy.
So if that was 2010, 2009, you said, so 9 years ago, check my math, that would have made you about 6 years old at the time?
Yeah.
Did you have those thoughts at that time as a 6 year old kid? Did you think I'm going to play on this, you know, on this team someday, or was that a little bit later down the road?
That was a little bit later down the road. I was really a big fan, really a big fan of the club, the team, everything. I always wanted to go to their games and always have. So
you went to the games back to the days when it was Community America Ballpark. It's a minor league baseball stadium. And then all of a sudden they build this brand new stadium. Do you remember that? Did you get to come to games in, you know, 2011 when the place was just opening up?
Yep, I did. I went to the first game against Chicago Fire.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, it was my first time being in a stadium like that. It was crazy. The atmosphere, everything, it felt so real.
Do you remember who scored the only goal of that game by any chance?
It was 0-0.
Yeah. A guy dressed as a cow ran onto the field and scored a goal. That was the only time the ball got put in the net for that game. So did it blow you away? Like just being in a stadium where, you know, here in Kansas City, there's 20,000 people going crazy. We'd never really seen anything like at that point in time. And what were you at that time? 10-ish years old, something like that?
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, going when I don't even think, you know, back when they played at the Community America, there wouldn't be too many people. And then, you know, it just all of a sudden rise. Everybody starts going to sporting games. It just grew so fast, and it was awesome.
Once again, we're visiting with Tyler Freeman, just signed a professional contract with Sporting Kansas City, 15 years old. And so I've got to be honest, because this next question I'm about to ask, I'm putting myself in your shoes. And when I was 15 years old, professional athletes were my heroes at that time. Like, I looked up to, I want to be like those guys 15 years from now or 10 years from now, whatever. You're 15 and you're going to be on the training ground with these guys on a consistent basis going forward. But let's just go back a few years ago when you mentioned that you've always watched these games. Did you have a favorite player? Like, who did you have a couple heroes that wore Sporting Kansas City shirts from just maybe a few years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Josh Wolf, of course. But, you know, I always looked up to, you know, Roger. I always loved how he played. He was always one of those guys, gave his all every night. And he was just so fun to watch. And now to be able to play with him, share the same pitch as him, it's a dream come true, really. Yeah.
You spent some time on the field with these guys already, I would assume, being an academy kid. Have you gotten to go out and train with them even before this announcement?
Yeah, I have.
What's that experience like for you?
It's so surreal, really, you know, seeing all the people you watch on TV, you know, every night, you know, every time they play, and just being able to share the same pitch as them, you know, it's awesome. You can learn so much from all of them.
One of the things that always blows me away when I come to training is the intensity of it. You know, you always hear the story that when you play high school sports, you think you're going hard until you get to college, and then you learn a new level, and then you get to the pros and you learn a new level. You're skipping some of those levels. You know, have you noticed that? Like, what's the intensity level? Forget about a game, just on a training when you're on the field with guys like Roger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, you know, coming from the academy up to the first team, you know, it's a big jump. It's all like go, 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 everything. It's crazy, but it's something I'm really looking forward to, you know, learning from all of them.
Okay, and playing up is not something new to you. You've played with the U.S. U-17s. At 15 years old, you were the youngest kid on that team earlier this summer. Tell me about that experience. How much did you learn and grow from that?
Oh, man, it was awesome, you know, meeting a whole new group of guys, you know, going on a trip to Costa Rica with all of them, you know. A lot of them, obviously, you know, signing contracts as well on their, you know, MLS clubs, you know, to learn a lot as much as from them as possible. It's awesome.
How do you fit in? You know, when let's just say when you're a 15-year-old on a team with a bunch of 17-year-olds, I would think that would be a challenge enough. You're going to be a 15-year-old on a team with guys that are literally twice your age. So how do you go about fitting in when there's that big of an age difference?
I mean, everybody, you know, every time I go in, you know, a new environment, everyone's real welcoming, you know, especially here at Sporting, you know, everybody's real nice, real encouraging, real positive, you know. They just make me feel at home here, so it's great.
So have you talked a lot with guys like Gianluca and Jalen that have already gone through this process that you're about to go through?
A little bit, not really. Yeah. I haven't really told them yet today.
Yeah, because so. Gianluca, up until just a couple of months ago, wasn't old enough to have his own driver's license. So he had to get a ride to practice from some of the other guys on the team. Have you even thought about those types of things, like how you're going to be able to get here till you turn 16?
I know, yeah. I've already had Jimmy take me a couple times. He's already took me home. So, yeah, it's crazy trying to find a ride, that. It's awesome.
You going to go through driver's ed and all that here in the near future?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I'm throwing a lot of real world stuff at you right now, Tyler. It's pretty incredible to think about all this at the same time that you're a professional soccer player now. Tell us about you as a player. I know you're a forward. That usually means you like to score goals, but how would you describe yourself as a soccer player?
Oof. I have a lot of 1v1 ability. I like to take people on every time I can, you know. I like to play that final pass as well. You know, I just think all around I'm a creative player, and that's about it.
Have you always kind of had that? Is that a flair, a natural thing, or is that something you really focused a lot on in terms of specifically maybe your 1v1 ability?
Yeah, you know, it's always came pretty natural to me. You know, I've always worked on it. I've always wanted to, you know, be that player, to take that person on, beat that player.
That's who you are as a player.
Yeah.
Tell me about your family a little bit. You got any siblings? You got any brothers, sisters that play with you? How did soccer become such a crucial part of your life, maybe from a family standpoint?
Well, my sister got me into it, you know, when I was about 5 or 6. I went to her practices. You know, I wanted to play with them. I was like, oh, man, this looks so fun. So I did, and, you know, I just fell in love with it ever since.
Is she a good player?
She is. She plays for Central Missouri. She's same position, same everything, yeah.
They just won national championship, didn't they? Was that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get to go watch that and everything?
No, I couldn't. I was at a national team camp.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It sucked, but...
Well, that's a good problem to have. If you're a national team, you have to miss your sister winning a national championship all at the same time. Hey, Tyler, congratulations. We can't wait to see what you have to show everybody on the field. Enjoy it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Tyler Freeman. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show. He's the latest in what Peter Vermees calls the vertical integration here, the pathway to the pros, doing its work again here for Sporting Kansas City. We'll be right back after this. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and we're doing another special show from out of Pinnacle today because there was another big announcement today. Sporting Kansas City signing another homegrown player, second youngest homegrown player in franchise history, Tyler Freeman. We just had that conversation with Tyler for you, and now we're going to talk to his boss, Peter Vermees, who was at the press conference today as well. And so let's start there, Peter. Tell me maybe what excites you the most about this latest homegrown player that you've brought into the fold.
Well, first and foremost, it's another attacking player. And it's a player that, and we have made this a high priority in our organization that we continue to support and provide the resources in which we can continue to develop players from within our system in our pro pathway, going from our academy, Swope Park Rangers, to the senior team. And so Tyler is a player that we've identified that we think has the potential to make it. Obviously, there's still a lot of work to do with the age that he is, but our commitment is trying to put, you know, that on a full-time basis and making that happen. I think that it's an exciting day because it continues to show that we're yielding the results that we kind of set out with the objectives to try to develop players that eventually someday can get into to the senior team. And I think you've seen in the short term guys like Daniel Shelloway, Busio, Lindsay, Kuzain. These are all products of our academy that are getting significant minutes with the senior team. And we're hoping that Tyler is the next player to be able to do that.
What specifically about Tyler Freeman do you like as a player? Obviously, he's still pretty young, but what do you like in him?
Yeah, as I stated, he's obviously a younger player, but he's also he's an attacking player. And a lot of times in academies, it's not the easiest thing to develop as the attacking player, but he has a certain edge to him that is more on the line of a guy that obviously really wants to score goals, can score goals, can give the final pass, can eliminate players off the dribble. So he has those things that, you know, a lot of times we're trying to buy because they don't exist. Or we they're the harder positions or the harder types of players to find, whether it be locally, regionally, nationally, or even internationally that you can find and bring in. And so having the chance to develop another one of those players, even along the lines like Zeus is hopefully going to be a big advantage for us moving forward.
Now, you brought that up a couple of times, Peter, even back when you signed Gianluca. I remember you talking about how it's hard to find young American goal-scoring type talents. And with all the target allocation money that's been brought into the league, it seems like that's been foreign players coming in to score goals and create goals. Why do you think it's so hard? What makes it so hard to find young American attacking players?
I think there's not one reason. It's a lot of reasons, right? But I think the reason why you're starting to see that come out more now is because I think the academies around the league have created a completely different environment and line of progression, if you will, for these kids to be developed. And so I would say that, and it's no disrespect, I just don't think over the years that we've had a plethora of good coaches to develop the young player. And so there's been significant education, significant commitment from clubs, even from U.S. Soccer and the way that they have restructured their coaching education, and that I think it's making an impact. And that's why you're seeing the players come out now. And then the environments, you know, when you look at the Development Academy League, you look at the opportunities kids are having to play at a very high level, and also the ability to see soccer worldwide and see players and emulate them because it's at your fingertips, whether it be on TV, whether it be on your phone, internet, what have you. I think all of that has provided this next generation of players that are coming out, and I hope it continues.
If you talk about being able to play at the highest level, this is Tyler Freeman. He's played with the U.S. youth national teams pretty much all the way throughout, including being one of the younger guys playing up a couple levels. What do you have? Do you think that'll help his development? And you know, what do you have hopes of him learning from playing with those U.S. youth national teams?
First, I think for players, whenever they get different experiences than they have on a regular basis as a player, I think all those experiences are always good, even the bad ones, because they give you different perspectives. What the national team gives him is, I think it gives him more of an international opportunity when you have to go into the likes of Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, all these different places to actually qualify. You now see what you're going to be going up against for years to come. And what you can do is also compare yourself to those players. What do they have that I don't have? What do I have that they don't have? How do I continue to get better and make sure that I'm not only better than my peers, but also better than the players that are in my region? And I think those are again, just great experiences, and they allow a player to do a lot of comparisons and self-reflection.
All right, Peter, obviously it was big news today with Tyler Freeman. We're excited about that, but you're also in the middle of a pretty big stretch of the season right now. Four games to go. You're in second place, and you've got Zlatan Ibrahimovic and the LA Galaxy coming to town on Saturday. I don't know if you've heard, but I think they're expecting well over 1,000 standing room onlys for this game. I'm curious what your thoughts are when you have all the things at stake that we know that are at stake toward the end of a season like this, but also a big-time personality and a big fancy club coming to town like this.
Look, LA Galaxy is the LA Galaxy, right? They have been an incredibly successful club in this league, and I think it's funny how, you know, people talk about them in one breath that they've been so great, and all of a sudden they're talking about the demise, and I don't buy into it. I think that they have an incredible roster. I think they are a very, very good team. I thought both with Ziggy and now with Dom that they had very good coaching staffs in those situations. And I think right now their players realize that they're in a position where they could make a run and try to get into the playoffs. And they're gonna work, and they're going to do everything that they can to come in here and try to gain 3 points. And so I don't view them in anything but as being one of the top clubs in this league. And they have an incredible roster. And they have – obviously, look, Ibrahimovic is a – he's just a dominant force on the field from so many different points of view. And he has been dominating in our league in the way that he has scored, the way that he has helped them sort of propel themselves into this position to be, you know, in contention when they started out poor. And so I see a team that's going to come in here with a lot of dominance and somebody we're going to have to be very good against.
You mentioned the coaching change as well. Have you seen a big difference in how they play since they've made the move from Ziggy to Kinnear?
I think there's a lot of similarities. I think that they also got some guys healthy and back in their team. I think Dom is trying to keep it really simple with the group and try to play to the strengths of the group and put players in positions where they're going to be able to be most effective. And so look, I have the utmost respect for Dom. He always does a great job with the teams that he coaches. And, you know, again, I expect a well-organized, disciplined, hard-to-play-against team this weekend.
Peter, you touched on this a little bit in your answer about Zlatan, but we can get so caught up in Zlatan, and rightfully so, because he's so tremendous. They have some really good attacking players outside of him that people might forget about a little bit as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you take speed of Boateng, the ability of Alessandrini, and that he can beat a guy, he can score, he gives great service. You know, Cole is a seasoned veteran that provides great service on the outside. You have the Dos Santos brothers, Kamar up front, who is, you know, look, he scored a ton of goals last season in this league. You just have a lot of players that are very, very good. And so you can't put all your attention on one player and forget about the rest. It's obviously a team game, but obviously you have to pay some, you know, you have to be really attentive to Ibrahimovic, because he's one of those games that can change the game in a blink of an eye. And we realize that that's going to be an important aspect of the game. But at the same time, we also have to play our game, and we're going to have to try to make them have to defend us. And that's going to be a big part of the game as well, I believe.
So, Peter, one of the things that you also have to lean on in this game, I don't know if you lean on it or not, you played really well in Los Angeles against these guys earlier this year. You played a great defensive game, scored a couple of goals. What can you draw from that? Do you look back on that game at all as you get ready for this one?
Other than the fact that, you know, we played well and we scored, you know, we got 3 points and that's it. There's nothing else. It's a totally different game. Every time when I look at a team, whether you played them last week and now you're playing them this week, there's differences. You know, whether it's a lineup change, whether it's not a lineup change, now that you're playing at home and now you're playing away or vice versa, all of that has an impact on the game. And so the difference here is that, you know, we're in the 30th game as opposed to whatever the 60. I can't remember what game it was early in the season, but it was really early. But here we now are playing the 31st game, if you will, and we have to look at them in a different way. And we also know that we're a different team as well. And the things that we have been working on all season long, I think, will help us in this game. But at the same time, you also have to come with a level of effort and competitiveness into every match you play in MLS, and especially here down the wire, because they start to take on a life of playoffs.
That's what I was going to ask. Match 31, LA Galaxy, going to have all this media attention. Does this kind of feel like a playoff atmosphere type game?
I think, look, it's the game itself will be, I think, more intense than maybe if it was game 7 of the season. There's no doubt. I think it's only because, look, everybody knows kind of where everybody is. It's a tight race for everyone, and everybody's trying to get points. And so the games take on a different life, and you know that, hey, we got to get points. And so because of that, you know, teams will come out, and they'll be more intense. They'll put more effort into the game. And so the game starts to take on a life of its own. With all that being said, there also has to be a level of composure. There has to be a level of leadership on the field, understanding of the moment, and not letting just your emotions rule the day. I think we got a pretty good group in the fact that we have a core group, we have a veteran group that has been through those things before, and we have to let that be a big part of who we are in the game and not get caught up in all the other stuff.
Last week, and this is a final question for you, Peter, when you were telling us about the RSL game, I asked you what you really wanted to see from your team, and you talked about that intensity and playing every single role of the ball. Is it as simple as that again this week, or are there a couple of things you really want to see out of your team as you take on this LA team?
I always think that we have to be good with the ball, you know, in possession. I think that's a big part of our game. I think we have to be a little courageous at moments. And I especially mean not only with the ball, but also in the final third, because we created a lot of chances this past week. I thought our intensity, I thought our commitment was great last week. I think we can be a little bit more courageous in the box. And we gotta go play. We gotta go be who we are. I get there's a very good team that we're playing against, and there's obviously some key players, and those are all important things, but we also gotta be who we are in this game.
All right, well, Peter, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on the signing of Tyler today, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Peter Vermees, and we'll continue with the Sporting Kansas City show right after this. Back at Pinnacle Sports Complex as Nate Bucati, Carter Augustine with you, wrapping up another edition of the Sporting Kansas City show. Our thanks to Tyler Freeman and to Peter Vermees for joining us on the show today. Now it's time to break down this upcoming match a little bit. Carter, first off, we talked with Peter about the atmosphere. And yes, Sporting Kansas City versus LA Galaxy, with just 4 games left in the regular season, it's going to be a huge standing room only crowd at Children's Mercy Park on Saturday night. As a broadcaster, are you going to be on the sideline for this one? Does it get your juices going a little bit when you have all the games are exciting and fun, but when you have a game like this, what about you?
Yeah, it definitely does. There's still just something about the Galaxy, even though they have been a complete mess over the last year or two, or three, I guess. But there's still something about the Galaxy. And then you combine that with them adding Zlatan Ibrahimovic, one of the biggest personalities in the entire world of sports. He certainly has fit right into the Hollywood ethos of LA Galaxy. Maybe even raised it, which seemed pretty impossible. But what he's also done is really taken to the league, as you would expect, as he's taken to every single league he's ever played in. What he went through that stretch of 9 championships in 11 years or something, over 4 leagues or something ridiculous mm-hmm. like that. And he's brought that quality to LA Galaxy as well. I think him being there will just add a little bit to it. But it also... You combine the Galaxy, Zlatan, and then how much this match means to each of these teams. And, yeah, I think it's going to be incredible. The atmosphere, I think it's going to be incredible and electric. And I don't know how that doesn't get your juices flowing.
Yeah, and it's Zlatan's birthday today, by the way. He's officially old now, so we're fine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but you talked about the fact that the Galaxy had been a bit of a mess. Look, they just fired their manager he stepped down in the middle of the season not too long ago. Dominic Kinnear's taken over for this team. Last year, I think they were a disaster. This year, as you said, though, they're 2 points off the playoffs, and I don't think anybody would put it past them to make a little bit of a run. They are not a well-constructed team the way that Sporting Kansas City are. And when I say that, I mean every player on the field for Sporting Kansas City fits their position. There's balance from front to back in the team. There's a midfield presence. The team has been constructed by Peter Vermes with every single position on the field in mind. The LA Galaxy are a collection of stars that don't necessarily all fit together, but that can also make them a really dangerous team when you're playing against them.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of alluding to as well when talking about the disaster they've been, is what's the direction of the team? And like you mentioned, it doesn't seem like they built a team around like how these players will work together. Right. It was just kind of, hey, let's bring in all these great players. And I'm curious if maybe they brought in Ola Kamara before they thought they were going to get Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But right. You wonder how some of those decisions happen. But it certainly has played out that way. They have the most expensive back line in MLS, but for some reason they've shipped 59 goals. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You look at their games and they get wide open, and it doesn't seem like they have any midfield, but they paid a lot for Jonathan Dos Santos. They brought Perry Kitchen in, who was obviously fantastic in his first stint in MLS. They got Sebastian Legette. I mean, they've had some injuries this year, but they just have too many players. And then we heard Peter Vermes talk about the attacking players they have. Alessandrini, Ibrahimovic, Kamara, Boateng, Dos Santos, the other Dos Santos. It just doesn't make sense. But that's the other thing, is they're so dangerous that you feel like you can get at this Galaxy team, but you know that they're going to put the pressure on. And in the first game, Tim Mealy made, 10 saves? Zlatan Ibrahimovic came on for like 15 minutes and had 5 shots. I think all of them were on target. So they're a real danger team, and they're running out of games. They only have 3 games left to try and get in the playoffs. And like you said, they're 2 points back from RSL. So they're going to come in here like a wounded animal. And they just have so much talent that I would be shocked if there aren't goals in this game.
Yeah, and they've shown they can get results on the road. They've in 15 away games, they've gotten results out of 8 of those 15 games, 4 wins and 4 draws. So they are not one of these teams, and we've seen some teams like Minnesota and Houston and Colorado that just can't do anything away from home. That's not this LA Galaxy team. So it's going to be an exciting one. But to go back to what you said about the lack of identity to the team, I think the Ola Kamara Zlatan thing is a perfect example, because it seemed like a great trade for them to get Ola Kamara at the beginning of the season. He was slotted in to play that position, but then it was almost like the move to get Zlatan was more of a personality and star power driven move than it was a soccer move. Look, he's scoring goals like crazy. You can't fault that whatsoever, but it doesn't, you know, it almost seemed like it was just more of a reaction to the fact that they were losing some of their audience to the, you know, star-studded LAFC team down the road than it was, what do we need as a soccer team right now?
Yeah. They obviously have to, if you can get Zlatan, you have to get him in MLS. So yeah, that part makes sense. But yeah, I think it's just, like we've said, it's just kind of an example of just the overall, what are they doing about the LA Galaxy front office that I've had that we've all had over the past couple of years. And a lot of that has had to do with LAFC coming in, and it seemed like they just weren't prepared for LAFC to come in and make the splash that they did. So, it's been really curious. And, you know, you fired a couple coaches in the last couple of years. You have some questions about them, but they're still hanging right around that playoff line. And it's going to be interesting because they play Minnesota and Houston after Sporting. RSL has 2 games left with Portland. So that's going to be a real tight one. And I think the big question is, if you're one of the top seeds, who would you rather play, RSL or the Galaxy? I think it's got to be RSL, doesn't it? I mean, despite all the Galaxy's problems, they've got a guy named Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and they have all that attacking power. This is a chance for maybe Sporting to make sure the Galaxy don't sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, and for Sporting right now, 2 points off of first place, 2 points ahead of third place. There's a couple of home games left that you feel like you really need to get 6 points in their tough home games against the two LA teams. So for me, the stakes are very high for Sporting Kansas City as well. They, I think, very much have the possibility of finishing in first. But first and foremost, I think it's getting that top two spot, and that is far from being locked up right now.
Yeah, and I think doing the math, I think if they get 4 points from these next three games, get a win and draw from these next three games, you're going to have it in your own hands when you host LAFC on the final day of the season. So I think that's a very realistic goal. And that's assuming that LA would win all the rest of their games. So they have that top two very much in their hands right now. And this is a home game in those three games, where the other two are on the road. So if you can win this home game, all you need is one draw on the road against Vancouver and Dallas, and then you control it against LAFC. So I think they know that as well coming into this weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun Saturday night. Of course, you can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can watch it on Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app. And you can get your tickets. I think there's still some standing room onlys available. SportingKC.com, 888-4KC-GOAL. 7:30 Saturday night, Sporting Kansas City and the LA Galaxy. Our thanks again to Tyler Freeman and to Peter Vermees for joining us out here at Pinnacle. For Carter Augustine, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show.